Well, we had a series going. We have a series going called The Spirit of Victory, and we had several services that went into a different direction, I believe, by the leading of the Spirit of God. And, of course, we had Thanksgiving, and we were gone. So it's been a few weeks since we've been in this, so we're going to kind of hook up with this again and go forward. Why don't you just look there on your sheet, and we'll put it up to 2 Corinthians 2:14. Just to get going, it says, "Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. Thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ." In the God's Word translation, it says, "But thank God, who always leads us in victory because of Christ." Who always leads us in victory because of Christ. So God leads us in victory. Now, we don't have to follow. Did you hear us? Did you hear me? He said, God always leads us in triumph in Christ. He always leads us in victory. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of victory. He does not lose. He is not sad. He is not depressed. He never fails. So His Spirit, the way He does things is always right, and it's always victorious. Now, He leads us that same way. We have to follow Him. We have to hook up with Him. If we think the way He thinks, if we'll just, like we were saying earlier, in the early part of the sermon, we'll just seek first the kingdom of God, just do what He's telling us to do, hook up with Him, yield to Him, then we're going to be led in victory. Amen. And so we've been talking about that in this series. We're going to recap a little bit, and then get into a few areas this morning a little bit further. Read on your sheet there, 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." So it's not us, it's not just positive thinking or your strength in different areas. It's because of what Jesus did. He paved the way for you and I to walk in victory. 1 John 5:4 says, "Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." We might spend some more time on that later, but the victory that has overcome the world is our faith. We walk with Him, we believe Him, we do what He says, and He will lead us in the way that we should go, and we will overcome. Now, we spent time on a number of areas, and I encourage you, if you didn't hear the earlier message in this series, go back online in the link in your bulletin, the media page, and go back and listen to these messages, because we covered several areas, and these all build. You know, but just really quick in recapping, we talked about how there are going to be challenges in this life. It's not because God is sending them, that we live in a fallen world. We live in a cursed world. Now, we're not cursed as Christians, because Jesus became a curse for us, but the world is cursed. That didn't get undone because of Jesus. And so we live in a fallen world, and there's stuff that's broken here. And there's a lot of people that are not serving God. And so we deal with a lot of stuff that isn't the way God intended it to be. You deal with situations that have been created by men and women that hate God. And so you're dealing with junk. And you know, the climate is messed up. I mean, the hurricanes and tornadoes, I'm not saying just recently, throughout time, those are never the act of God. Earthquakes, this stuff, that was not in the Garden of Eden. This stuff is just messed up, okay? It was perfection in the Garden of Eden. You didn't have to put on a coat, ever. You just walked out and it was perfect. But all that at the fall got destroyed. And so, you know, and then you had the flood. And this world is, you didn't have extreme cold and extreme hot and torrential rain and stuff. I mean, it wasn't like that. So we live in this fallen world. People say, that's an act of God. Something happened. You know, the insurance companies still call those things, these natural disasters. That's not God. We live in a fallen world. Sickness and disease came into the world because of the fall, because of sin. Now, we, like we were saying in communion, we have been redeemed from that. Jesus bore our sickness, but it's in the world. If you bump up against some of it, we need to know what to do. But it doesn't have to overtake you, because God has paid the way through Jesus for us to be redeemed. But just because you know what the Word says on some of these things does not exempt you from challenges in life. And so we talked about that, because if you think it does, if you think, you know, I'm a Christian now, nothing, I should never have a challenge, then you're going to be upset if you do have a challenge in life. And somehow then, if you think that's not supposed to happen, and you think God is supposed to have, you know, removed all the stuff in this world, you're going to be mad at God. And that's not who you need to be mad at when you're going through a trial. He's your help.
Amen.
You get mad at Him and walk out of Him, now you're done. Because the real person that is has stirred all this stuff up is Satan. All the turmoil in the world is because of him, and because man yielded to him.
Amen.
But he will tap you on the shoulder and said it was God that did it. God did it. Where was God? Well, we live in a fallen world. God's doing everything he can to help you. He has. Through Jesus, he already sent his son. But we have to yield to him. We have to yield to God in our situation. If you think God is just going to overtake everything, you're wrong, and to correct your situation, because he can't. I said he can't. He has the power to, but if he were to do that, he would undo legalities in the world. Satan has authority to do some of the stuff that he's done, not over Christians, but he has a right to be here. Is that news to somebody? God can't call do-over and kick him out. He gave the right to Adam to have dominion over the earth, and Adam bowed his knee to Satan, did what he told him to do. Bible says if you listen and to whom you obey, you become his slave.
Amen.
Well, Adam sold us out. Not getting on his case, you know, but he sold us out. So, you know, we'll get to talk to him and Eve in heaven, but not saying we would have done any better. But you know what? The whole human race went down the wrong way. And so we've dealt with a bunch of junk. It wasn't supposed to be this hard. But we're dealing with it. But we need to know, to have victory in situations. See, some people, I'm just recapping, getting us all on the same page so we can move forward. Don't have time to go through everything, but there's a lot of Christianity that has bought the lie that God is doing some of these things in their life to teach them something, to perfect them, and he will bring disasters, and, well, we don't know why God did this, but he took so-and-so. No, that's not true. There is a killer, and his name is Satan. He's the one, we'll get to it later, that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Steal, kill, and destroy. He is the one that is the destroyer. And so people have bought the lie that that is God. Well, now you opened your door wide open. And they'll take the stuff that is Satan and the fall. And the fact that we live in a cursed world, and they say, it's God. This is my cross to bear. That's just a misuse of that scripture anyway. We're not going to get off on that. But no, God's the Redeemer.
Amen.
Jesus is the Redeemer.
Amen.
So we can't, if we're accepting this junk, well, you've already lost. If you're not fighting against it, you've already lost. You're gonna accept it. So there's people that accept it. Then there's people that think nothing should ever happen to you. And I'm not saying bad stuff. If you believe God and you're in the right place at the right time, I'm not saying stuff's just gonna rain under you because if you'll follow Him, that path is blessed. But you're still going to bump up against the junk in this world. What we need to know is that we have authority in what we've been redeemed from. Okay, so we spend some time on these things that we're not exempt from challenges. It's how we react to them. Jesus himself said we would have tribulation, but he said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And we talked about the fact that he has good plans for us, that he is a good God. We're convinced that we need to be convinced of his goodness, that even in the midst of a trial, he has good things. It's not him bringing it, but he will bring us out if we'll look to him. And we talked about the fact that he loves us. We need to be convinced that he loves us, and that love is not just some wishy-washy love. It is the God kind of love. And he loves us with the love that he's placed in our heart. And we went over that. It's described in 1 Corinthians 13. And you can go back and listen to those things. But we need to have an understanding that that's how he looks at us. Now, we got into a few things, last time we talked about this. We talked about fear some. Now, go ahead and look at 1 John 4, 17. And we're going to pick up here a little bit. 1 John 4, verse 17. It says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Now, we spent some time on this, but we're going to go a little bit further in a slightly different direction concerning fear. But this is what we talked about last time. Verse 18, there is no fear in love. Okay? God loves us. There's no fear. The more you understand what he is to us, how he's related to us, how he loves us, it's going to cast out fear. You're secure. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. Fear involves torment. When you fear, you're being tormented, and fear will lead you in the wrong direction. It says, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love, or mature. You're not mature, you're not completed in love. Well, we're all growing. Did you hear me?
Yes.
We're all growing. We're all at different places. You know what? We need to just concentrate not on our neighbor and what they're doing, and in any given, well, I'm further than them, or I have this, or I'm not as far as it. That will just bring anxiety, discouragement, you know, you're yielding to pride, whichever way. No, we need to just say, God, how am I doing what God told me to do, and where am I? And focus on our relationship with him. But we are all growing. Verse 19 says, we love him because he first loved us. It's because of what he did. It's because Jesus died for us that we even have the opportunity to fellowship with him. So why don't you go down to John 10:10, just quoted this. We touched on this a little bit in another sermon when we were talking, Shelley and I were preaching together, but I want to spend some time here in relation to what we're talking about in this series. John 10:10 says, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come, this is Jesus speaking, that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now this is referring to Satan. Satan, he's a stealer, he's a killer, he is the destroyer. He hates you and me. He's pure evil. Anything you know of evil, the worst accounts you've ever heard of somebody doing something evil does not compare to Satan, because Satan's the father of all that. But he's been whipped. He has been defeated by Jesus. But he likes to portray himself as a big bad dude. Now, he's nothing compared to God, and he's nothing to the Christian. But if you listen to his lies, you will be defeated. He is crafty, and he is intelligent. You know, you say he's stupid in the fact that, you know, he crucified Jesus and set up the very thing that was going to take him. But at the same time, he's very intelligent. I mean, he's been around for we don't know how long. And so to take him on with your intellect, you're going to fail. If you try to go toe-to-toe with him and match wits with him, you will be defeated. But if you keep him in the realm of faith and what God said, you cannot lose. Because God's the Almighty. See, Satan is just a created being. God's the Almighty. They're not equal and opposite forces. They are not like the, you know, you see in different stories and stuff. You got the bad side and the good side, and they're just, boy, they just came to it, and it just, they almost, you know, it's just such a tight battle, and then one of them wins or one of them loses, depending on which story it is. Am I still on there? Okay. It's not like that. It doesn't have to be like that in our experience either, because there is no comparison between God and anyone that would come against him. We're not even talking about the same class. He has no equal. There's nobody that can get in the ring with him and even think they're going to win. It's not even like there's one notch below him and there's somebody that's almost there. It's not even the case. He is in a class by himself. And he's our Father. So if we follow him and what he said, there's nobody that can take you. That's not a statement of arrogance. Because notice, it's dependent on what he said and what he did. It's not you. It's not me. If it's up to you and me, forget it. We're going to get crushed. But he won't be. But there is a tool that Satan uses called fear. And especially, you know, we're talking about victory, the spirit of victory, and we're talking about you coming through the trial. We're talking about you coming through the pressure. Well, a lot of times when there's pressure, when there's stuff that happens on this earth, there's fear. Fear you won't make it. Fear something's going to happen to your child. Fear you're going to lose your job. Fear your business is going to go under. Fear you'll fail. And if you listen to the fear, you will be led into loss. Now we're going to spend a little time on that, and I'll show you in Scripture. Because fear will never lead you in the right direction. Because its author is the killer. God's not the author of fear. And you listen to him, you listen to the voice of fear, you are listening to your enemy. And he is setting a trap for you. We're going to get into this a little bit, but you need to see this. We don't want to mess with it. It is not all right to be afraid. Now, we all deal with it. We're all tempted. I understand that. None of us are walking perfect. This is not to condemn us. I'm saying we need to know how bad it is to mess with it, because it is trying to lead us into death in all its forms. Loss. It's bondage. It's torment. And if you're going to listen to fear in the midst of a storm, you're going to have a hard time standing. In fact, if you're standing but you're listening to fear, you're actually going toward defeat, which is why you have to shut it down. Now, we're talking about standing. We're going to get to standing. This is all part of it. And if you've been following the series, I mean, you've been in this, we've talked about these different facets. See, Satan uses tools to try to take people out. It's not just the simplistic thing of, I'm going to win. You know, God has given me victory, so I'm going to win. That's true. But Satan is crafty, and this is what he tries to do. He's a deceiver. He's the father of lies. So if it was this easy or this straightforward where you have a challenge and it's so obvious what the devil comes up in a red suit, in a pitchfork, and he said, I am going to do this and this and this and take you out, and you say, no, but the word of God says this, and I just have to resist you, and I'm going to win, and you just stay there and resist him, and he's in your face, and you're there, but you just say, no, I believe God, and he said, yeah, but this, and you say, no, that's you, you're a liar, and he said, yeah, but you're going to go down, and you say, no, you're a liar, and you can see him saying the words, and it's just so obvious, and you just stay there till he goes away. That's actually what happens, but it does not look like that. He's a deceiver. What he does is come to you exactly that same way, but he says it's not. He doesn't come in a red suit, in a pitchfork. He tells you lies about your circumstance. He gives you thoughts. He says, what, this person means this, and you think it's you. You have a thought, this person's going to fire you. It's obvious. And you're like, yeah, it's obvious. Didn't you see the way they were talking to you? They don't like you. And you're thinking, man, I did see the way they were talking to me. They don't. And you see, it's Satan talking to you. But you don't. You're like thinking, wait a minute, what's going on? Is this? And you start looking at the circumstance. And if you were to see it for what it is, you would stand up and say no. But you're not sure. This is how he takes people out. And people say, oh, I'm just going to resist it. Yeah, you need to know what is him and his is not. And some people are just yielding to fear left and right, not knowing he's leading you right into where he wants you. They will, if you're avoiding something because you're afraid of it, you're avoiding a situation because you're afraid, that is not being led by God.
Amen.
Did you hear me?
Yeah.
If you're afraid, you are not being led by God. And you are subject to deception and subject to loss because you're listening to fear. Did you hear that? Let's read some verses. So we read John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So the devil, Satan, is the author of stealing, killing, and destroying. This is his job description. Okay? This is what he is attempting to do in your life, in my life. He hates Christians. He hates God. He can't take God out, but he can hit his kids. He'll try to. And we need to know. You don't have to be afraid of him. See, right now, if I say this, I don't know about Satan. No, you can't yield to that. That you don't need to be scared of him. That's what he wants you to do. He can't take you out unless we let him take us out. He cannot take you out unless you yield to him. So he will try to hit you. And you need to know, now he can't just do this independent of everything. He can't just out of the blue take you out. If he could, why didn't he do it already? He'll tell you that. Well, this is serious this time. This is going to be the end. How many other times did he tell you that?
Too many.
So we need to wake up. No, I know. But this time, seriously, this is it. It's obvious. And it wasn't obvious. Did you not hear that same thing before? I know I've heard that more than one time. Well, this was all just a setup to get you here. Now you're really going to be taken out. Oh, really? See, if he could do it, why didn't he just take you out already? No, he can't. But he does have tools, and we just need to know what's going on. So this fear, we read in 1 John, there is no love, or there's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Now, I have it again on your sheet there. We can skip that. It's not supposed to be there. But Hebrews 2, verse 14. Hebrews 2, verse 14. It says, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death. Notice that, had the power of death. He had it, though. That is the devil. And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now notice this. So Jesus, go back to verse 14, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, so we are flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same. In other words, he became a man. Why? That through death, that through Jesus, making that sacrifice, he might destroy him who had the power of death. That is the devil. Destroy him. Render him powerless. Amen. To render him powerless. Verse 15, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. See, God has released us and release those that will believe on him. Now notice this, who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. What kept them in bondage? Fear. Fear of death. Fear of death is fear of loss. Not just dying, but anything you feel like you can't get something back. You can be afraid of any number of things, but notice that the fear of death makes one subject to bondage. Well, bondage to who? See, we've been freed. But if you yield to fear, he's still got a hook in you. This is why he wants you to sin, okay? As an aside, people get off and think, oh, it's just me and God. Doesn't God love me and I just want God? Your problem is not God. Okay? God can forgive you. God loves you. But Satan will take advantage of you. Anything you yield to him, and sin is yielding not to your nature, your new nature, it's yielding to Satan. He tries to get you. If he can get you to sin, then he's got a hook in your flesh to get you to do what he wants you to do so he can kill you. Amen. You guys with me? See, people have made it, well, they make it all about God. Well, and people have totally misunderstood this. They've run away from God and what they would call religion because they felt guilty, and they say they don't want to have anything to do with that. It's not about, God has paid the price through his son Jesus for you to be right with him, like what we were talking about earlier. Your problem is not him. But if you sin, we're being foolish. Because we are yielding ourselves to Satan. If he can get you to yield to him, he can lead you. He'll get you to move in a certain direction because you're yielding to something that he's got a hook in your flesh. And the more you yield to that, the more he can lead you to where he gets you in a position where he can take you out. That's why we don't want to mess with it. Not because God doesn't love you. God loves you. But it is stupid. It is foolish to follow after him. Now, to follow after sin or Satan. And no, we don't want... God paid a high price through Jesus for us to be free. Why do we want to go mess with the junk again? Now, we're all in different places. We are all dealing with stuff. But our heart shouldn't be to mess with something. The Bible says don't make any provision for the flesh. That means you don't plan ahead. And then say, I'll just do this and then I'll repent tomorrow. That's a dangerous place to be. Because you may not want to repent. You may like it. And if you keep going down that path, you give access to the destroyer in your life. See, this is not that hard. And people blame God. Why did this happen? Well, what was the person doing? See, they will die because of something. They were in a place they shouldn't have been, doing something they shouldn't have been doing. They got in with the wrong people, and their life was taken from them. And then people will get up in a funeral and say, God took them. God did not put you in that position. In fact, he was warning you and telling you, get away from it if we would listen. God never just takes somebody. No. That's the killer that does that, the destroyer. But Satan tries to get a hook in our flesh to pull us. Well, fear, it's the same thing. He's trying to pull us. And actually, that I'm going to say this because it's true, but fear, yielding to fear, is sin. Worry, the Bible says, do not be anxious for anything. Cast all your care upon the Lord. Well, what would it be if you decided to be anxious? I know it's not, you know, people will say, well, I just can't help it. No, if we say we can't help it, then we are bound. We have done it so long, it feels like we can't help it, just like any other thing. You can be in a habit for so long, you feel like you can't help it, but it's not true. Did you hear me? It's not true.
Amen.
Now, don't take this as condemnation going, oh my gosh, I'm sunk then. No. Don't hold on to the thing that's binding you. Say, all right, I'm getting free. I'm getting away from it. You say, I just can't help it. Don't tell me that's sin. I'm not trying to do it. Nobody said you're trying to do it. But if we do something nevertheless and it's bondage, we'll still get the same results. Amen.
Amen.
So fear is something that tries to take a hold of you and push you in a direction. Fear, it can be, you know, just a mild dread, or it can be full out panic, but it's still fear. But fear will bind you. So in our context, we're not really trying to teach on that subject completely. We're talking about that when we're standing in a situation, fear will try to keep you bound and it will try to lead you into defeat. Okay? That's what I want you to get, is that when you're in a trial, you got to be very on guard for fear, because it's tempting when things are pushing on you to be afraid, but you have to know if that fear is trying to lead you into defeat. So that's what we need to resist. We need to push against it, because it won't take you anywhere good. We need to be strong and just do what the Word says. Don't be duped into fearing. So let's read this and then we'll go on. So inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So we're released. Jesus died so we could be released from this, right? Is that what it says?
Yeah.
Through fear of death, they were all their lifetime subject to bondage, but Jesus came to release us, so we don't have to be in bondage to fear. Romans 8, 14. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So any son of God and daughter of God can be led by the Spirit of God. You are led by the Spirit of God. We have to yield to it. Verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. So notice verse 15, you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Now in the New Living Translation on your sheet there, it says, so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. You didn't receive a spirit that makes you a fearful slave. No, we received a different spirit. But notice that spirit, fear, will make you a slave. It will. There are people, they have all kinds of names for it right now. I can name a few of them. You say, oh, that's a scientific definition. Boil it down, it's fear. all kinds of quote-unquote conditions boils down to people are afraid. And it will control you. Got to do the same thing all the time. Why? Because you're afraid if you don't, you're going to lose something. It's fear. But we don't have to fear. We don't have to fear. Amen. I said we don't have to fear. Hallelujah. Jesus died so that we're free. If we only knew it, we're free. Yeah. See, we've been made free, but we have to choose to be free. You can stay in bondage. The prison door is open, but we're still sitting inside. We got to walk out. We got to leave. We can yield to fear. A born-again Christian can yield to fear. Everybody in this room knows it because every one of us has done it. You don't get automatically set free from fear just because you got saved. You have to do something. We have to resist it. Go back to verse 14. It says, "For as many as are led by God, these are the sons of God." So you can be led by the Spirit of God. That's who you want to be led by. The Spirit of God. We want to be led by the Spirit of God, not led by fear, which will make us a slave. So in the midst of a trial, in the midst of tribulation, in the midst of pressure, we need to be led by God. We need to be led by peace. And I have there's many series that we have on the website about being led by the Spirit of God. If you haven't listened to one of them, go listen to them, because this goes right along with it. We don't have time to dive into all this, but you being led by the Spirit of God is being led by His Spirit on the inside of you. It will bear witness with your spirit, and it will be peaceful. So you can be led by peace in the midst of a howling storm. Everything around you can be look like it's falling apart. You know, there's thoughts coming at you. But what do you need to be led by at that point? You need to be led by the Spirit of God, not fear. In the midst of circumstances that could, you'd be tempted to be afraid. If you start listening to the fear, you're not being led by the Spirit of God. You're in a trial. You need to know, God, show me out. Show me the way out. Lord, I believe you're with me. I believe you're for me. Now show me the next play. You show me what to do. I know you want me out of here. I know you want me to overcome. I know you are victory. Your spirit is the spirit of victory. You always lead me in victory. Now I need to be led by you to come through. You don't need to be led by fear. Fear will try to take you right into the thing that's defeating you, trying to defeat you. When you're looking at what do I do, you shouldn't be saying, well, I don't want this to happen, so I'll go over here. That's a trap. Did you hear me?
Yeah.
It's a trap. Because God's not, who's leading you at that point? It's not God. The Spirit of God is not saying, run away. Now, it could be. I mean, if you have peace, get out of this situation. That can be God, but it's not, I'm running, I'm afraid. It's, you're having peace to leave rather than fear to run away from. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
God can lead you to get out of a situation. Absolutely. But it's totally how it comes. And you have to be discerning, because you could have thoughts of, man, I don't know. If I stay in this situation, something could happen to me. But you could have those thoughts, but now what you have to discern is, Lord, what would you tell me to do? Okay? So, you could end up leaving that situation, but you didn't go because it was, oh no, this could happen to me. You say, God, I mean, yeah, that could happen and stuff, but Lord, where would you have me? If you want me here, then that's the safest place. Because people start going by their head. They start saying, this could happen, that could happen, you need to get out. Well, if God told you to be there, and now you're getting out because of fear, where was the safest place? Where He had you. But now if you're afraid and you're leaving that safe place, you got led out by fear, not because He told you. Now, you could have thoughts This could happen to me. This could happen to me. Something could happen. And you go to God, but you don't act on it. You don't leave or get out because of that. But you say, Lord, there's stuff going on, but I want to hear from you. Now you show me what I should do. And he might say, get out. But he said, get out, and you have a piece to get out. See, that's, do you see the difference? You're being led by what he told you to do, not by fear. But if you're led by fear, you don't know, you can't let the fear control you. Just because you have thoughts on a certain thing doesn't mean you should act on it. You can't run away from something. You can't let the fear paralyze you, because when there are things happening, you know, you're going through a test, a trial. I mean, I like to use the word, I mean, it's testing you, but it's not God in that situation if it's evil. The Bible says he won't tempt anyone with evil, but you're going through tribulation. The devil will show you all kinds of videos about what's going to happen in your head. Anybody ever experienced that? You have a picture of this thing coming out very badly. What's he trying to get you to do? Yield to fear. You're not in faith when you're in fear, and just yield to say, that's what's going to happen. Well, you're not standing up with the truth. If you're thinking that's going to happen and you start trying to avoid loss, you're not trying to win. You're trying to avoid loss. That's not the same as trying to win. I said this, you know, before when I played soccer and baseball and tennis growing up. You start to try to avoid mistakes when you're playing something like that. Like you're ahead by a certain amount, but you try to not lose. You can start making some very stupid mistakes now. And the thing that you're trying to avoid, you actually open the door to. Now you're trying to not let them score a goal, and they score a goal, and now you're nervous even more. The momentum starts changing. Whereas if you just keep the foot on the gas and you start keep playing the way you're supposed to play and play to win, you don't make the mistakes that you would when you're trying not to lose. Well, it's the same in life when you have pressure. You start trying to avoid stuff and do stuff because you're afraid. That's not the same as saying, I'm coming through this. God Almighty is on my side. He's going to show me the next play, and we're coming through. Amen. See, now you're open to whatever he tells me to do, I'm going to do. Not, I got to avoid that, and I got to avoid that. Now you're listening less and less to him and looking more at the circumstance. That's not, those aren't the same thing. We need to go and be secure and resist anything that would try to push us to be afraid. Look at 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7. It said, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. That's what we looked at above. It says, you did not, in we don't have to turn back there, but Romans 8:15 says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. You did not receive a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Here it says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. He hasn't. God didn't give it. It's not from God. Amen. Fear is not from him. Ever. What kind of spirit did he give us? Of power, of love, and of a sound mind, stable, secure mind. Even going around going, oh my God, what are we going to do? What are we? That's not secure and that's not sound. That's not God. Everybody say, that's not God.
It's not God.
That's not his spirit. That is never him. We got to get out of here because such and such is going to happen. Stop. Who said? God's not going to lead you like that. That's not him. If you do have to get out, God's not the one running around like a chicken with his head cut off going, we got to get out of here. We got to get out of here. Follow me. Come on. We're all going to die. That's not him. He'll say, we need to leave now. Come here. Come on, son, daughter, we're going to go.
Yeah.
But it will be calm, it'll be peaceful, and it won't be scared.
Amen.
Say, just walk with me. Jesus, when he was being pushed, they were trying to throw him off the cliff. He just walked right back through him. I'd love to see the video of that. What did that look like? You know, he's like, it's not like they're not trying to do it. They are trying to throw him off a cliff, and he just turns right back around and just somehow just walks right back through him. I don't know. That doesn't sound like he was like, no, I'm not going to go, and just turns around and Jesus was as calm and cool and collected as it gets. He always was doing the right thing.
Amen.
Well, we're supposed to do too.
Yeah.
I know it's a high bar, but you know what? We have the Spirit of God on the inside of us. He gave us an example.
Yes.
We're supposed to walk like our big brother.
Amen.
If we trip up, go, man, I'm coming up. I'm going. Help me, God. We're going again. We're going to do it. With your help, I can get there. Getting up. I'm not going to run away. God, you tell me to go, I'll go. But you tell me the move to make and I'll move it. But I'm not going to start running my life afraid, because then I'm already yielding to the enemy. And I know that's not where I'm going to end up. Well, if I stay here, this is going to happen. Said who? That's not how God leads you. But it's obvious. Says who? That's not how God will not lead. He'll lead you by peace. He does not lead you by drama. He doesn't. That's not him. And when you're talking with your spouse, you got to detect that. Or your friend, what you doing? What could happen? You got to watch who you tell about certain situations. Well, this could happen. And do you know what the doctor said? You could die. And for the Christian, dying is not the worst thing. Don't try to hang on to the life. You got to figure out, what am I supposed to do here? I got a job to do. Don't start trying not to die. There's a lot of people that are, you know, they're holding on, and they're basically gone, but they don't have a life at all, but they're holding the people alive. They're technically alive, but they're not living. Don't try not to die. Live. Don't try to start avoiding things. Be led by God. God, what do we do here? You show me, because I know you're going to show me in victory. Where do I go? What do I do? You got to be careful when you talk to people, because you tell them something, they can yield to fear.
Amen.
And now they start telling you, you got to detect that. Now, I'm not telling you get in somebody's face and say like, shut up, that's fear. Get away from me. I don't want to hear you. That's, you know, you don't need to do that. You're going to have other issues if you go around doing that. But you can just, I will tell you, there is, I'm thinking of an issue here. I don't have to go into all the details of the situation, but this was a few years ago. We were looking at a certain transaction, and there was a person involved, and Shelley and I were talking to this person. And we were standing in this room, and this person started saying certain things about it. Well, this, you wouldn't want to do that, because this could, and we were feeling like we were getting a sense of if we wanted to go in a certain direction or not, but we were thinking probably we wanted to go in this direction. We weren't in a big trial or anything. It was we were seeing, do we want to go in a certain direction? We were talking to this person about it and going over some logistics. This was a professional. Knows this area better than we do, but they started to say, well, you know, I don't know. I mean, if you started to do this, this could happen, and this could happen, and whatever. And I was standing there, and just inside me, it was just like, this is fear. She is completely yielding to fear. And I told Shelley that after. I said that she was completely yielding to fear right there. What are we supposed to do in this situation? Because that, she might have the more experience, but what she's saying is yielding to the devil right now. I'm not saying she's demon. I didn't tell her that. Okay? We were just talking, and then we left, and I said that was fear. So now what we have to discern what we're supposed to get, but I know that was completely fear, and we don't want to use that in certain things. And in this situation, we ended up doing what we thought we should do, and It was right. If we would have listened to this person, we would have been completely wrong. It was trying to talk us out of what we were supposed to do. Now, the person was a professional, person had more experience in this area, person was dead wrong in this situation. If I would have listened to that and been like, well, yeah, probably right, we'd have missed it. We'd have missed out. But it was wrong. You got to be careful about who you talk to about your situation. And you got to be careful when they start saying stuff. You got to have a radar for fear. And if somebody's dealing fear, you just need to resist it inside. Now, it doesn't mean you have to tell them everything, but if it's your spouse, depending on where your relationship is, you need to be able to talk to each other and say, no, we're not. That's not what we're going to do. That's fear. Now, you don't just say that unless you can handle saying that. Amen. Out of the blue, if you go home and you've never said that before and you start shutting your spouse down, you're just going to have another problem on your hands before you get back to the real issue. You know, 3 days later, after the argument, now you get back to what the situation was. That's not going to fly well. But we got to discern, because you don't want to be led by that. Well, this could happen. Well, it could, but is that what God wants us to do? Because is that even right? Tell you what, when we were talking about moving out here to Andover, we were walking around, when we'd tell people that we were going to live, they'd be, move out here and start a church, they're like, well, do you have any family out there? I mean, why are you moving? We're like, because we feel like God's telling us to move. But it tries to put this fear in you that, what are you doing? Are you hearing from God? Did God really tell you that? I mean, I don't know. Everybody's asking, what do you have, family? What's your connection out there? Not, well, okay, and hooking up with you. Well, if we let that get into us, you get tired of just shielding. Like, you know, wait, you know, we're just trying to hear God. And we were going through some of that. And I've told you this, sure, but we had... there was a couple that came, and you know, I was in third year pastors, and we every in this one class, the class was basically pastors that were already out in the ministry would come back, and they would just teach on whatever God put on their heart, just practical, whatever, just pour into the students. This class of 25 or so for that whole week, or three, you know, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And this couple came there from Kansas, and I went up and talked to the lady, because even when I told him initially, you know, yeah, we're doing this and this, it's just like you feel this pressure. And I told her, I said, look, with everything we know, we feel like we're supposed to move out here. Whatever, when we tell people, it's just like you get these questions here, and she just looked at me and says, you do what the Spirit of God's telling you to do. Amen. She goes, we walk by faith and by the Holy Spirit. You do what God's telling. And it just helped us. It's like, yes, that's right. That's what we're supposed to do. And that's what we're telling ourselves, but you got somebody that's been in the ministry 20, 30 years longer than us going, you're doing what you need to do. You listen to the Spirit of God. You don't go by what anybody else says. And it just it just helps you. That's why we need each other. You need somebody that's going to put into you, not tell you all the things that are wrong. You don't need help to know those things. You don't need to yield to that. And when you're in a trial, you do not need to yield to the fear and the pressure. You need to have faith put in you. You need to be led by peace. You need to shut down all that noise, because that noise is already there. You need to shut it down and say, no, what is God saying in this situation? And that you need to have people that you know are going to tell you the truth and help you and say, and hook up with you, not help to get you in a tizzy. You don't need that. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's wrap this up. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Amen. Go over to James 4:7. I don't have it on your sheet. It's familiar, but can you put it up there on the screen? James 4:7. We'll just put it up. James 4:7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and what? He will flee from you. Who is the author of fear? It's the killer, it's the stealer, it's the destroyer, Satan. But notice what the first part says, submit to God. Look, you may have things popping up, people may be saying stuff, but you need to submit to God. Are you doing what God told you to do in the situation? Are you saying, "Go, Lord, I'm with you"? Well, you do that. Now you're in the position to resist the devil, and he what? He'll flee from you. Fear is from the enemy. But if you'll resist it, it will flee. Now, one thing you have to understand is that fear has symptoms just like sickness has symptoms. And just because you're experiencing the symptoms does not mean you have to yield to the fear. No more than just because you're experiencing the symptoms of sickness does not mean you need to say, "Well, it's too late." No, it's not too late. In other words, you could have the hair on your neck, the back of your neck standing straight up. Your knees could be knocking together. You may be thinking, "I don't know how we're going to get out of this." And you need to stand up and say, "No, I'm not going to fear. I'm not going to fear. I am going to come over. God has made me victorious. I will not run away. I will not go anywhere unless God tells me to go. Fear, shut up. Satan, leave." And you resist it, and he will flee from you, because you have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and a love and a sound mind. And look on your sheet there, 1 John 4:4. 1 John 4:4. "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world."
Amen.
That's where we have to come from. That's the angle you need to run at the problem with. Not, "I'm running away," saying, "Wait a minute, the Spirit of God within me is greater than this, and we're coming at this thing. I'm not running away, I'm coming at it. Now, God, what are we going to do? Because I know we're going to win. I'm not any fear, I'm resisting it." It's like, "Shut up, you leave." No, I have not been given to the spirit of fear. I have been given this spirit who is greater than anything that's out there.
Hallelujah.
No, I'm not listening to that. No, I'm not being led to it by it. I am going where God tells me to go, and we're overcoming. We're going to be in victorious. We are going to come through.
Amen.
See, this is how we win. This is how we come through. Anything that would make you afraid, you just resist it, because that's not from heaven. Amen.